Hey everyone, ready to really get into something? We're talking dementia. It's actually way more common than people think. And not just like, oh, getting older kind of thing. This is serious stuff. We're going deep today on what dementia actually is, a whole bunch of brain disorders, not just being forgetful. And let me tell you, the research is fascinating, surprising even. Got expert insights lined up and whoa, some of the stats will make you think twice. Ready to jump in.
You're totally right. It's way more than just age, right? What gets interesting is dementia is really this decline, but it messes with your daily life, you know? Not just memory, though. Yeah, that's often how it shows up first. But we're talking language, judgment, even your mood can go haywire. And this is important. It gets worse over time. That's how it's different from just forgetting where you put your keys once in a while.
Right. And speaking of that getting worse bit, our research kept saying progressive. So what's that look like? Steady downhill or more like, I don't know, ups and downs?
Good question. And honestly, it's different for everyone. Speed, pattern, all over the map. Not always a straight line down, thankfully.
Yeah.
Sometimes things plateau, might even get a bit better for a bit. But sadly, yeah, the overall direction isn't great.
Okay, so not like one day you forget your glasses, next day you don't know who you are in the mirror.
Exactly. And that's why knowing the type of dementia someone has, huge. Alzheimer's, that's the most common. That tends to be gradual. But then vascular dementia, that's from blood flow issues, that can be more like sudden drops than stable than another drop.
Which brings us to those kind of scary stats you mentioned earlier.
Mm-hmm.
One source said 10% of people over 80 and 20% over 90 have some form of dementia. Wild, right? Makes you wonder who's most at risk. Other than just, well, getting up there in years.
Yeah, those numbers are eye-opening for sure. Shows just how common this is getting, especially with more folks living longer. And yeah, age is a big factor, can't deny that. But it's not alone, and this is where it gets really interesting. Our sources had a whole bunch of risk factors. Some will really surprise you.
Oh, you got to give us the goods now. What else should we be looking out for?
Well, one thing that popped up was, get this, gender difference. Women, and we don't fully know why yet, are more likely to develop dementia than men. Some theories about hormones after menopause, but more research is definitely needed there.
Okay, ladies, something to keep in mind for sure. What about like the whole genetics angle, family history, that kind of thing?
Another excellent point. Now, only a small percentage is directly caused by genes. Those are usually early onset, often run in families. But even without those specific genes, if dementia's in your family tree, your risk goes up. Loaded gun analogy, you know? Might not be you pulling the trigger, but it's there.
Sounds like there's still a lot we don't know about the genetics part, though.
Oh, for sure. But researchers are on it. One example, they've found this gene, APOE4, super strong link to late onset Alzheimer's.
Wow, see, fascinating stuff. So it's not just age and family history we're talking about. Our sources mention things like your overall medical history, even head injuries playing a role. That's where that whole more than an old folks disease thing really hits home, huh?
Absolutely. Way more to it than hitting a certain birthday and boom, you're doomed. Having other conditions, multiple sclerosis, Huntington's, even Down syndrome, HIV, those can all increase the odds. And head injuries, especially repeated ones, think boxers, there's a link there too.
Man, talk about complex. One thing that really surprised me in all this research, they mentioned learning disabilities, like that could potentially be connected to higher dementia risk later. Can you, I don't know, unpack that a bit?
For sure. It's a newer area of research, but yeah, studies are finding more dementia in adults who had learning disabilities when they were younger. Shows how intertwined our brains are, development, how well they work as we age, the whole nine yards.
It's like everything's connected. So we've talked about who's more likely to get it, but what's actually happening in the brain with dementia? Our sources talked about two big ones, Alzheimer's and vascular dementia.
Yeah, so we're talking two different culprits, right? Each one does its damage in a different way. Think of Alzheimer's like plaque, but in the brain. It's this protein, beta amyloid, starts building up, clumping together between brain cells. And that messes with how they talk to each other.
Oh, okay. So like those sticky notes that are covered in so much dust and stuff, they're not sticky anymore.
Perfect analogy. And then there's vascular dementia. That one's all about blood flow or, well, the lack of it. Often it's triggered by a stroke. Or even those mini strokes, TIAs, they cut off the blood supply and that damages brain tissue.
So, two totally different roads, but leading to the same place, cognitive decline. Makes you think, how do doctors even figure out what's going on to give a diagnosis? Our sources said it's not as simple as just, oh, you forgot where you put your reading glasses.
You got it. Diagnosing dementia, it's almost like detective work, putting together a puzzle with a bunch of tiny pieces. It's what they call a clinical diagnosis. Mm. That means the doctor's really relying on a few things. Your symptoms, of course, medical history, what they find out from cognitive tests.
Sounds complicated. So what are they looking for, like clues?
Well, first things first, they got to make sure it's actually dementia, rule out other things that might look similar. That's where the blood work comes in, imaging scans, all that. Got to check for things like maybe it's a vitamin deficiency, thyroid acting up, even signs of a stroke. All those can seem like dementia at first glance.
Makes sense. Got to cover all the bases. Speaking of which, we saw some other terms too. Delirium, just normal aging, and MCI, I think it was. Could you break those down for us a little?
Sure thing. So delirium, that's like a sudden change mentally. Get confused, disoriented, easy to mistake for dementia. But delirium usually has a trigger, like an infection, side effect from a medication, something like that. And the good news is usually you treat the cause, delirium goes away. Then there's, well, just getting older. We all forget stuff sometimes. That's normal. But when it starts really getting in the way of everyday life, yeah, that's when you gotta pay attention.
And MCI, that's where it's not quite dementia yet.
Yeah, MCI, that stands for mild cognitive impairment. It's like the in-between zone between normal aging and full-blown dementia. With MCI, yeah, you're having more memory problems than you should for your age, but you're still able to handle things, live on your own, that kind of thing.
So it's like a decline, but not severe enough to be classified as dementia yet.
Exactly, but think of it like a warning sign, canary in a coal mine, you know? Could mean there's something bigger on the horizon.
Okay, so this is where things start feeling a bit heavier. Let's say someone does get that dementia diagnosis. What's next? What we've read, it seems like it's more about managing it, not really a cure.
You're right on the money there. Most types of dementia, there's no magic cure, sadly. So the focus shifts. Now it's about managing the symptoms, slowing things down as much as possible, and making sure the person and their caregivers can still have the best quality of life possible.
Makes sense. So practically speaking, what does that look like managing it?
Our research pointed to two main approaches, medication and then just overall supportive care. So for meds, you've got things like cholinesterase inhibitors. What they do is boost this chemical messenger in the brain. It's super important for memory, thinking, all that good stuff. Almost like you're boosting the signal strength between two walkie-talkies so the brain cells can communicate better.
I see. So helping the brain do what it's supposed to do, just giving it a little boost. What about that other part, the supportive care? That seems really broad.
It is broad, and that's intentional. It's everything. Creating a safe space for the person, helping them with daily tasks as their abilities change.
Because even things like eating, getting dressed, suddenly those aren't so simple anymore, right?
Exactly. That's where supportive care steps in. Could be giving reminders, making the home easier to get around, or eventually even taking over some of those tasks completely. The goal is to keep that person's dignity, let them be independent for as long as possible, but also got to keep them safe.
Sounds like a tough balance, supporting them, but also respecting their independence.
You said it. And we can't forget about the caregivers. This is huge for them. Incredibly demanding, physically, emotionally, the whole nine yards. Making sure they have resources, breaks when they need them, that's just as important.
And our sources didn't shy away from some of the tougher aspects either. Malnutrition, pneumonia. They said those are real risks with dementia.
Right, and we gotta be upfront about that. Sadly, the further dementia progresses, the more likely these complications are. Malnutrition, sometimes it's forgetting to eat, or their taste buds change, but it can also be from problems swallowing, especially later on.
Which then, of course, if food or liquid gets into the lungs, that's where the pneumonia risk comes in.
Exactly. That's why it's so crucial to catch any swallowing problems early. Speech therapy can help, or changing what they eat, things like that.
It's tough to hear about all that, you know?
Yeah.
Both for the person going through it and everyone who loves them. Really makes you realize, catching it early, like we keep saying, but it's got to be so important.
It is. Because early diagnosis, that's when you've got more options. Treatments that might slow things down, give folks more time to, I don't know, plan for the future, make decisions about their care while they still can.
And families too, right. Mm-hmm. Time to adjust, get ready, practically and emotionally.
100%. It's about facing this thing head on, not getting blindsided. When you've got knowledge, support, that's power.
You said earlier, no cure for most types of dementia. That most makes it seem like Maybe there are a few exceptions.
You picked up on that, good ear.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's important. Most dementia, it's progressive, no going back, but
great.
There are some types, like if it's from a vitamin deficiency, thyroid problems, things like that. Catch those early, you can actually reverse it.
So there's always hope, even with something as tough as this.
Always. Like they say, knowledge is power, right? The more we understand about dementia, the better we can advocate for ourselves, the people we care about.
We've covered a lot of ground today. Fascinating stuff, but honestly, kind of heavy at times, too.
It's a lot to digest, for sure. But the main thing to remember, I think, is you're not alone in this. Dementia affects so many people, and there's this whole community out there, researchers, doctors, families, all of us, try and figure it out, make things a little easier.
Before we wrap up, any big takeaways you want listeners to remember? Even if they forget everything else, what's the one thing to hold on to?
Ooh, that's a good one. If I had to pick just one, it's that dementia's not normal aging. It's a disease, and like any disease, early detection, that's your best shot.
Powerful stuff.
Yeah.
Knowing it's not inevitable, that we can do something, that gives us power over our brain health and to help the people we love. Thank you so much for guiding us through all this. Really insightful stuff.
Happy to do it.
And to everyone listening, thanks for joining us on this deep dive. And remember, even though we're wrapping up here, the conversation doesn't have to stop. Keep learning, ask questions, and let's support those living with dementia in any way we can.